John's Gospel, chapter 3, the 31st verse, the one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. So, I'm just going to highlight the very beginning of that reading. The one who comes from above is above all. John the Baptist is the spokesperson here. And what he's doing is he's drawing a contrast between heaven and earth. What a contrast. And also a distinction, a contrast between himself and Jesus Christ. The one who comes from above is above all. And I'd like you to, just for a short time, just concentrate your minds upon this thought. The one who is from above is above all. The kings thought so because they came and fell at his feet as a baby in the manger, and they worshipped him and they brought their gifts. They were quite sure that he was Lord of lords and King of kings. They knew instinctively that he was the Lord of glory. Now, this idea of one being above us is very well established. It's established in life, it's established in society, it's not alien to any one of us. My dad worked in a coal mine all of his life, and there were men on every shift called the overmen, or the overman, down the pit. Today we have the foreman. In past generations we had the overlord, and I'm sorry to say it, even to this day, we have men who are husbands who behave like overlords, lording it over their wives as if they were little slaves. The idea of one being above us is not alien to us. It's rooted in life. We have it with government. We have it with the Big Brother approach. How many of you have heard recently about Edward Snowden, who has left his work as the intelligence operative of the National Security Agency? He tells us, oh, that the National Security Agency have been spying on us. Did they ever ask you once for their permission, for your permission, to look at your emails? Do you feel uncomfortable now that they may have been looking at your emails and listening to your telephone call? This is Big Brother, the one who is above us. Our core privacy rights are infringed. But do you know what? Most of us are not even bothered because we are so used to someone lording it over us, being an overlord, being above us. We love to think that there are others who are above us and who are better than us. People will speak expressly like this, that they need the monarchy. We need, these are words that people use, we need the Queen. It's built into our DNA, the idea of the need of someone who is above us. And yet John says this in verse 32. You can look at it yourself. Regarding Jesus, no one accepts his testimony. The point is, we are most happy to have earth's rulers to rule over us, but when it comes to the Lord Jesus, no one accepts his testimony. And you might just ask for yourself this morning, Whose rule have you accepted? Whose rule are you prepared to bow to? And yet here is the King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. No one accepts his testimony. And do you know, when the rulers run roughshod over our freedoms, do you know we still accept them? We're still prepared to put up with them. And John the Baptist, he knew that people would be drawn to him as a great speaker, as a great leader. And so he said, no, this would be a fatal mistake. The one from the earth belongs to the earth. Wouldn't it be great if you could look around you right now at all the earth's leaders? This is even Mandela, who has just died. They're all of the earth. They're all of one kind. They all speak from the earth. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is from heaven. And the Bible says, you have it right in front of you, he is above all. And therefore he comes to this world to lord it over us. And it's unusual to many people to hear this, but when you meet a true Christian, they'll always speak about the Lord. They're not speaking about the generic God. They're speaking about the Lord because they know him intimately. He is knowable. Here it is, the one who is above all, who would lord it over us. Now, I've just got three simple things to say to you about why we should say within our hearts this morning, I am prepared to let Christ lord it over me. First of all, he's got the authority. He's got the credentials. He's perfect. Look at him. He has no greed and he has no pride. He has no meanness and there's no murder in him. There is no adultery in him. His credentials are absolutely perfect. Just look at the leaders of the world who you're prepared to have above you and look at and think highly of. I think of a man like Richard Nixon. Right to the very end of his presidency, he lied right to the very end. Right up to the very last moment, he was prepared to stick with his lie. And yet the people loved him. And Bill Clinton and the rest of them, these are our world leaders who we think so highly of. We hail them, we praise them to the skies. I know it's difficult for me to say this, but our own Princess Diana of Wales, you daren't speak a word about her ills. Oh no! She is of angelic quality. This is a lie. She's like me and like you. She comes up from the earth. When will we learn this? I might think much of Karl Marx or Lenin or whoever it might have been. The great presidents of the United States or this country or Churchill, they're all of the earth. But Jesus is above all. He's without fault. He's without sin. You can trust him completely. And yet the text says that we refuse to accept his testimony. I'll tell you why we like the leaders of the world. They may be downright hypocrites, but we know essentially that they're just like us. That's why we'll put up with them. That's why we have no great trouble ultimately voting for them or accepting them. But when Jesus comes and he speaks, we instinctively, intimately, we know within ourselves, within our hearts, there's something about this man, like the Apostle Peter said when he met him. He said, get away from me. I am a sinful man. Isn't it true that birds of a feather flock together? And the Lord Jesus Christ is left out on his own, and no one wants to believe his testimony. What I'm saying to you is we're earthbound. Of course we are. Our perspective is earthbound. And so we love to have those of the earth lord it over us and to press their authority upon us. Now, I'm speaking about authority, but let me just argue this with you. Very quickly, I think probably everyone in this room believes in some form of authority. Based on what? Whose authority? When authority breaks down in society, you're quick to brand people and to judge them, the young thugs in the street. Those who need an order pressing on them, they're breaking authority. We want it in schools. We want authority in the home. We want it on the street. We want it in society. Because what we say is that the minute people begin to break the law, they're a law unto themselves. They've become anarchistic. Easy to brand them. Now, what when God comes to us and says, I am Lord of all, I am above all, and you break my law, and you do as you will, and you do as you like, and live your life in rebellion against me. Now, God says to me, to you, to every one of us, without a care in the world, you go against me, you reject me. And I send my son, Jesus Christ, who is above all the ultimate authority. And you just spurn him and reject him. He offers his life as a sin offering to change us, to alter us forever. But his authority, amazingly, has never matched the authority in the lives of most people like Churchill, like Bill Clinton, like Nelson Mandela, who has just died. And how extraordinary that we would be drawn to such failures like these next to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got the authority, secondly, over sin. It's not just this that he can point up our sin, but in his righteousness, he's the only one who can deal with it. And the one thing that you all know about yourselves is that you all know that you've got your sins. And he's the great physician of souls. He doesn't just point up sin, but he comes to deal with it. He comes to cleanse us from it. He comes to alter us and to change us. Do you know one of the things that was amazing about the religious leaders who met the Lord Jesus? They said, who is this who even has the authority to forgive sins? And what they didn't realize is that he was not of the earth. That's the problem. Most of you can't believe in your sins being forgiven because you treat him like you treat any other leader, as if he were of the earth. But he's not. He's above all, and he can forgive us all of our sins. You're a Christian, truly, and you know it, if you can say, my sins are forgiven. My sins. Jesus has the authority to forgive me for my sins, to wipe the slate clean. All the blots and the blemishes and the wretchedness of my heart, he is able to cleanse me and to make me new. Do we have no conscience? Are we not bothered about our sin? Have we become so hardened? I might ask you this morning, how do you live with yourself? I'm asking you. As a preacher of the gospel, how do you live with yourself? Have you bludgeoned your conscience to such a deep place that you can't feel your sins anymore? So that we have no need of this one who is above all. He's the only one who can truly come and give us peace with God and forgive us all of our sins. Because it helps, doesn't it? If you can say to yourself right now as I preach, yeah, but there's somebody worse than me. There's that chap over there, or there's her down the street. That's no good. It's your sin. And Jesus Christ comes. He's the one above all who can deal with them. Now, there might be someone here this morning who says, but I'm an impossible case. My sins, my failures, my trouble with my own nature, Jesus would never be able to forgive me. Well, I'll put myself in that place. You come and tell me all about yourself. Not really. I don't want to know. I'm not a priest. How would I be able to forgive you? You'd probably tell me something and I'd say, oh, well, I'd be able to go so far in forgiving you, but I wouldn't be able to go to the nth degree. But Jesus, who is above all, can look us in the eye, every one of us, and he can lay his hand upon us very graciously. And he can forgive us for all of our sins. I'm of the earth. The church, in many respects, we would say is of the earth. Those who serve like I do are of the earth. I can do nothing. He can do everything. So it means that if your sins are of the deepest dye, red like crimson, the Lord Jesus says he can make them as white as snow. Isn't that wonderful? The one who is above all. Quickly, come to the end. He's got authority to be gracious. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? The one who is above all has the authority to be gracious. It's not just that he can recognize our sin and forgive us our sin, but he is gracious to administer himself to our lives. Do you know what grace is? I'll tell you. It's this. It's saying not just that I don't deserve Christ, I deserve the very opposite. That's what grace is. You know that reading that we had this morning from John's Gospel? It speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ and it says that he's full of grace and truth. Full. He never runs on empty. He's full of grace and truth. The state might not handle you with graciousness and your next door neighbour and your family and your friends, but he never runs on empty. He will always be gracious to you. And that's why I never stop appealing to people. Go to Christ. He is gracious. He is gracious to forgive us. He's full of grace. Never despair. Never lose hope. Never lose heart. I don't care who you are or what your life has been. Go to Christ. His undeserved favor is gracious. Most of you who are not Christians will instinctively think of your own merit. But the Bible says you haven't got any. The only merit lies in God's Son. And so that's why he brought him to the world. He took him to the cross of Calvary and had him crucified there so that he might be gracious to sinners who apply to him. The Bible says God demonstrates his own love towards us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And you can look at the end of the text in your order of service sheet. Those who reject the Son, the wrath of God abides upon them. What can I say? He who is above all has been rejected by most of us. All right. I don't say it. The Bible says here, he who rejects him, the wrath of God abides upon that person. What a warning. So I'll leave you with this thought this morning. Will it be the empty ideas of the politicians and the monarchs and the kings and the queens and those who have even the secret rule over us? Or will it be him who is above all? I've got a final story just to tell you. Many years ago in the United States, there was a prominent American government official who went to speak at a student convention. And he'd chosen to speak on restoring the values of culture. And he stood up and he spoke for 40 minutes, 50 minutes, on restoring values in culture. And the great auditorium full of students sat there and listened. And when he was finished, into the silence, a young student stood up from Harvard University. And he said, "Can I ask a question?" He said, "Sure." He says, "This is my question. Upon what base do you build your values? Upon what base do you build your values?" And he stood there in silence and looked to the ground and he said, "I do not know." Here was an American official asking people to return to a system of moral values, but he was offering them nothing to build upon. Now, the young people who I deeply care about, and the children, why shouldn't they go off to drugs and sex? Why not? Should they follow your values or yours? What about your values? What about his values or her values? Whose values will you stress for the young people and the children for their lives for the future? It had better not be my fallen values, I'll tell you now. No, that will not do. Because you see, your values and my values are about the same. And I am a nobody. And no disrespect to all of you, but you are a nobody. Jesus is above all. And therefore, if we can get his values, if we can take of him, we shall be all right, every one of us. Christmas is a great time for me to preach the gospel. He was born in Bethlehem to die in Jerusalem, to take away the sins of everyone who puts their trust in him. Some of you may have come here for the very first time. You may have heard things about Trinity Evangelical Church, and you may think, oh, it's a bit of a scary place, that preaching every Sunday. Well, I'm not so crusty. I'm not so difficult. But I preach the gospel every week. And I want to invite all of you to come again. I want to invite all of you to come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news. It's the only news that is life-changing and life-transforming. Our prayer is that this Christmas, it will be the best Christmas of all. It will be, of course, if we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour and turn to him. Well, God bless his word to our hearts and give each and every one of us a very happy Christmas. Amen.